Well, yesterday on the programme, we were talking generally about bullying and the impact that it has on children, but also the impact it can have on home life, because from a parent's point of view, a guardian's point of view, a grandparent's point of view, it's hard to know what to do and how to best approach it. Should you tell your child to just ignore the bullies and walk away? Or if it gets too far, do you tell them to stand up for yourself and fight back? Well, on the line is James O'Higgins, Norman, UNESCO Chair on Bullying and Cyberbullying, and also Director of the DCU Anti-Bullying Centre. James, thanks for joining us on the programme. And we've chatted with you previously, and the one thing that we always caveat this by is saying that bullying has changed. The way that bullying presents itself now has changed. There's a lot of online cyberbullying. The days of the playground bully are nearly gone. And when you go home, you are kind of getting a bit of a break, a bit of a reprieve from the bullying. Unfortunately, now it can be nearly 24/7.
Yes, well, I'd say actually it's not so much that the days of the playground bully are gone. It's just that the playground bullying continues online. So it's this kind of blended reality, like the rest of our lives are blended. If bullying occurs, it also then is blended. So the child at school goes home and what's going on in the playground continues online at home, which obviously means that it's all consuming and has a very, very negative and can have a very significant effect and negative impact on the child involved.
As I say, it can impact the whole family unit. You know, it can be very stressful when a child is coming home from school or from football training and doesn't want to go back because of the bullying that's happening there. But from the parent's point of view, it can be, you know, detrimentally stressful.
Yeah, I mean, every parent sends their child out to school every morning wanting the very best for them in the world, expecting them to be safe at school, for their well-being to be promoted and for them to be happy and to do well. So when something like bullying occurs, it can be very, very upsetting for the child, but also for the family and particularly the parents who can often feel quite powerless in terms of what's the best thing to do to address the problem. And of course, it doesn't always become apparent to the parents immediately. Sometimes it can take a bit of time to work out exactly what's happening. And by the time they do that, the poor child involved can be quite far down the road of being targeted.
Is it hard to know what to do then and how to approach it? And what we were mentioning yesterday on the programme was, as I say, from the outset, do you say you have to be the bigger person, walk away, ignore them? Or at what point do you start teaching your child, stand up for yourself, fight back, don't let them walk all over you?
So it's really a good question. And, you know, all we have to remember at the heart of the bullying experience is a power differential. So if somebody feels they're able to stand up for themselves and is able to take on the person who is bullying them, then it's probably not going to be a bullying scenario. Because they're able to stand up for themselves. So children who are targeted in bullying are not able to stand up for themselves. That's why the bullying continues. That's why the bully continues to behave in that way towards them. So it's not just as simple as saying stand up for yourself, but what is really important is how the child responds in the early stages will often dictate how the bullying behaviour continues and or if it continues at all. So we often talk about, if kids are being called names or whatever, being targeted in that way, having the resilience to be able to kind of laugh it off, ha ha, doesn't bother me. If they can present themselves in that way, it often has a kind of a dissipating effect with the bullying behaviour in that it causes it to reduce or stop because the person who's bullying is not getting the desired effect, which is a sense of power or social status by behaving in that way. So it is important to prepare our children to be able to deal with bullying when it occurs in school or negative behaviour, let's say. But if it becomes bullying, it means they're not able to deal with it themselves and they need somebody more powerful in authority to step in and to support them.
It can often kind of lead to a snowball effect where it starts off relatively small, I'm sure, but then if the bully realises that the child is a little bit weak or won't stand up for themselves, then it can just gather momentum and maybe other people start to join in, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Bullying behaviour, it will usually start in a minor way and then progress and get worse as it goes unchallenged. So someone has to challenge it at some stage, but it's not always appropriate for the person who's been targeted to be the one to do that, because often they feel they can't do that for whatever reason. Maybe the person who's engaging the bullying behaviour is physically stronger, is smarter, is more popular, whatever it might be. They may just feel they have less power than that person to be able to address it themselves. So until somebody steps in and addresses the behaviour, and of course what we're talking about now is intervention. Hopefully schools are engaging in prevention work that will reduce the likelihood of bullying behaviour occurring down the road. But we also have to remember, and this is a thing that people find really hard to give thought to, is that the child who's engaging in bullying behaviour also has needs, and we have a duty of care towards that child. And schools have to take care of the child who's been targeted and the child who's engaging in the bullying behaviour. And that can be really, really challenging, because both children have needs. The needs of the child who's engaging in the bullying behaviour may not be immediately obvious to everyone else. They may only see the negative behaviour that they're displaying.
Are schools doing enough in your view, James? Because I know some have developed protocols and there's talk now of this nationwide approach in schools in terms of bullying, and I know you've worked on that yourself. So more work needs to be done in your view?
Yes, up until very recently, we used to talk about the need for a whole school approach, but we realise now that schools they don't exist in isolation, and that schools can't deal with bullying on their own. There's a lot they can do, but they're part of an education system, they're part of a wider community and society. So we need to work on this at different levels. The recently published government action plan on bullying, which is called Kinaltis, which is the Irish word for kindness, positions the school within that wider ecosystem and puts in place 61 actions that, if implemented over the next 5 years, will make a great difference towards this situation in our schools. But on the ground, in the school, the most important thing is that school staff deal with any suggestions of bullying in a swift and authoritative way. That they step in and make sure that everyone knows who's in charge, the adults are in charge, and that this is a safe environment.
Just finally then, James, before I let you go, and we mentioned this yesterday as well, not to diminish anything that we've talked about, mm-hmm. or to diminish any feelings that parents and grandparents and guardians out there might have if their child is going through bullying, and it can be a dreadful, dreadful time. But a lot of us who are now adults will look back on our school days and say that, you know, we all had a couple of bad years maybe, or we know somebody who had bad years, but in the long term, it kind of made us stronger, and that you look back and think, well, I don't give a jot about any of those people now. It can be very hard from a child's point of view to see that there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, when they grow up, it's not going to be the be-all and end-all. Is there positivity at the end of all of this, in your view?
So I'd say two things about that. One is that the research that we do here in DC Anti-Bullying Centre and in other universities around the world shows that actually for many, many people, they don't have that experience you've just described, that it has a very long-term negative impact on their lives if they've been targeted as a child. So we can't lose sight of that. And then secondly, I think this, which is, speaks to your point, is that it's really important that when a child is going through something like this, that they're given other positive experiences themselves. But school is only one place in their life. So if they're in sports clubs, if they're in drama, if they're in dancing, whatever it is, that they have positive experiences themselves, and that what's happening in school is put in its place and doesn't become the whole of their life. Because as you said yourself there, it is an experience that's confined to a particular time in their life, and long term, hopefully, they'll move on and live very fulfilling lives with the right support. Research shows us that if they get the right support within 2 or 3 weeks of a bullying event being resolved, children move on and don't tend to have those negative effects. But for many, if it isn't resolved properly and they don't get that kind of support, it can have long-term effects.
So simply put then, James, nip it in the bud if possible.
Nip it in the bud, that's exactly it. All the books I've written, all the papers, all the studies, I would say nip it in the bud. somebody who is who is in authority, step up, teacher, special needs assistant, whoever it is in the school environment, we're in charge, we're the adults. Step in, nip it in the bud, and help the child who's engaging in bullying behaviour to realise that there are better ways to be popular. There are better ways to have to use their leadership skills and their power for the benefit of everyone.
Okay, good stuff. Listen, great talking to you as always, Professor James O'Higgins, Norman, UNESCO Chair on Bullying and Cyberbullying and Director of the DCU Anti-Bullying Centre. Thanks for joining us this morning. A message coming in from a listener here saying, speaking from experience, the bullying can affect one for the rest of their days. And I'm sorry to hear that, but as James says, if we can. And I know sometimes children are not very good at coming home and telling someone about something that's going on in school in the early days, but maybe have that conversation with them. Tell them, if anything is going on, come back and tell me as soon as possible. And as we've mentioned here, nip it in the bud and hopefully things will get better. Lots more coming up. We're going to have local issues with Fine Gael councillor Ivan Keatley. A significant expansion of the male advice line as well, meaning that it can support more men in vulnerable situations and those particularly at risk of domestic abuse or domestic violence. And we have Crime Watch with Kildare Gardaí. All to come.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, let's go to the Athy Municipal District then, and on the line is Fine Gael councillor Ivan Keatley. Ivan, good to talk to you, and looking at the issues that you brought forward to Kildare County Council, you wanted a timeline for the completion of the parking review in Castle Dermot. Did you get that?
Look, later on this year, Clem, was the answer that I got from the staff in the roads department in Kildare County Council at our meeting on Monday. Now, I'm not necessarily satisfied with that. We did receive a presentation before Christmas on the parking review, at which it was suggested by a number of councillors that we should postpone it till after the local elections. But my view on this is that we need to get the parking review in Castle Dermot completed as quickly as possible. There are a number of issues pertaining to the playground, for example. We need parking outside, reserve parking outside the medical centre, to name but just two issues that are occurring around Castle Dermot at the moment. So, the road section have assured me that they're going to get to this as quickly as possible, so we'll stay pushing for that.
All right, did you get an update on the council providing a list of community involvement schemes and local improvement schemes projects for the Athy Municipal District this year?
We didn't get the list, but I was glad to report that the area engineer was in attendance and he did inform us that he intends to do a full list again this year, as the area office have done over the last 4 years of this. We have a very proactive municipal district roads office. And just to explain to people, Owen, the CIS scheme is a community involvement scheme for cul-de-sacs and laneways for publicly owned roads. And then the LIS is a different scheme. It's a local improvement scheme for private laneways that is operated through the Department of Agriculture and essentially is for landowners predominantly. But we have had roadways around the MD completed, a list of over 30 actually under both schemes for the last 4 years. So I'm going to be in contact with the area engineer over the next couple of weeks to make sure that we get a full list again completed in 2024.
All right, what about the works then on the sweep lane in Nerney? These were previously committed to be carried out. Any sign of them being carried out?
Yeah, last year and the year before, there were footpath works. There were a number of upgrade works carried out along the lane. We have four different housing estates running off this particular laneway, just at the back of the ball alley there down in Nerney. So thankfully that work is going to be completed this year. Now, unfortunately, Owen, the housing department didn't have any news regarding the site that is owned for housing in Nerney and that is owned by Kildare County Council. And again, I'm going to be back in contact with the housing section in Kildare County Council to see can we get, ultimately it's an answer from Irish Water or Ishka Éireann, as it's now known, to see when the sewerage is going to be upgraded in Nurney. And if that's not going to happen anytime soon, then I want to see service sites developed on this council-owned land so that we can have local accommodation there for local people. And that scheme is only in place since last year. And I think, you know, this particular site provides an ideal opportunity for service sites for people for the area.
Finally then, Ivan, any progress being made on safer cycling and pedestrian routes in the Athy Municipal District, particularly in rural areas?
Yeah, so I got three projects listed in the response their own. One being the Calverstown to Ballyshannon, one being the Coalstown to Castledermot, which essentially the council have said can't be done at this time due to the cost involved and the length of the footpath required. The Calverstown to Ballyshannon is making progress in that the council have carried out a number of surveys and are waiting for the Quiet Road Scheme in Oughtie-Cullen to go to planning to see what kind of interventions, I suppose, the council can use on that particular rural road and many other rural roads in order to make them safer to walk and cycle on. There's a particular issue there that I've been on to you about in terms of the school for Calverstown, the community hall, Dowling's pub there, for example. You know, there are three amenities that are widely used by the people of Calverstown. So we'll stay pushing that one. We have committed local property tax to getting it completed. So as soon as the council have a methodology from that Quiet Road scheme, we can see what kind of interventions we can get done. Oh, and before I go, could I just give an update as well from Alan Curry? He attended our meeting on Monday as well from Local Link. You will remember that the issue of no public transport from Kilgowan has been brought to your attention there by John O'Brien and a number of others from the Kilgowan area. Alan came out and met the residents. He did have some good news in that in a couple of weeks' time, there's going to be a once-a-week service from Kilgowan to see what type of uptake we get. And on the back of that, then, I would be very hopeful that in the next couple of months that we'll have a more extended service for the people of Kilgowan. And I'd be in touch with all of those residents that were good enough to attend the meeting with Alan a number of weeks ago, just to give them detail on that.
All right. Yeah. Fine Gael councillor on the Athy Municipal District, Ivan Keatley, with those local issues. Thanks, Ivan, and good morning. Just going back to some of the text messages then that have come in. This one says, please don't read out my name. Bullying happens to older people also. I have neighbours either side of me who love to bully and intimidate 24/7, and you go into some more details there, which I won't read out because I want to respect your own identity and maybe those as well. You say, I'm just airing my opinion, but there is definitely age bullying, or perhaps most vulnerable of us all. Bullies like vulnerable people, that's their strength. And you say, thanks for reading and thanks for highlighting it with us. Another one in here, Grace in Selbridge says, thank you so much for your coverage of the Castletown debacle. It's a massive issue for our community and that of Leixlip, Lucan, Maynooth, Selbridge and further afield. Hopefully our government and the new minister will now see that the lands must be reunited and an agreeable solution found. We've also had an email from SIP2 who are unhappy with some of the comments that were made by the Save Castletown Committee this morning, and we will contact SIP2 directly after the programme to give them a right of reply if they wish on the programme this morning. So just to put that on the record, and obviously our lines of communication are completely open here in the interest of balance, and SIP2 welcome to come on the programme this tomorrow morning. I want to go to the phone lines again though, because Ireland's National Mail Advice Line has announced a significant expansion of its now 10-strong client support team, as well as increased operating hours. The National Free Phone Service, which we'll give out a couple of times during this piece, offers confidential phone line advice and support to men experiencing domestic, sexual or gender-based violence and abuse. And John Kilgariff, counsellor on the Mail Advice Line, joins me now. John, welcome to the programme. You might just expand on what the Mail Advice Line does and what this new development is with the expansion.
Good morning, Owen, and to the listeners. The Mail Advice Line is a national free phone service, and we would support men who are experiencing domestic violence and abuse. And I think it would be very important to acknowledge, again, the severity of abuse that women and children experience as more severe in nature. But it's also important that men, like everybody else, get some support. So we would have the line would operate over 50 hours a week. That's over 7 days and 365 days a year. And again, we would take calls from, again, men experiencing physical violence, often coercive control, and a lot of situations that sometimes can be minimized as well, because you know, you were speaking about bullying there, but there's a lot of things where in, you know, in marriages and intimate relationships where a lot of behaviors that go on over a long period of time have great effects on people and their well-being.
Okay, so this expansion then certainly welcome, and you're going to be able to provide more and more services to men that need it around the country.
Absolutely, Owen. In the last 2 years, we have extended the service, which has been a very welcome addition, because a lot of the time when we speak to men who would come on the phone, it's great to follow up that and to be able to offer practical support as well over nationwide again, and that would cover again Kildare and the surrounding counties as well. And that could mean like a follow-on from the phone call. It would be then, say, that could be a face-to-face meeting with the support worker in their area, and then looking at supports around housing, maybe legal entitlements, court accompaniment, and a follow-on again from, and to feel that, to know that support is out there as well.
Sometimes people might think it's very difficult to pick the phone up and speak to a complete stranger about what's going in or going on within the confines of the four walls of the house, but oftentimes it can actually be easier and a big relief for those people who want to just get things off their chest and don't want to put it on other family members or friends.
Certainly, that's what we would find here, and that would be the experience. And at times as well, it can be that, you know, in a marriage or say in an intimate relationship, this may have been happening for a long, long time, and it can be someone can feel very powerless in this also and feel like they don't have a lot of options. So we often would experience someone to come on and say, well, maybe there's not a lot that can be done about this. But again, for men that we have supported over a longer term basis as well, the changes that can be made, and again, to have a life where it's not about fear, not being about intimidated or being isolated or any of the other behaviours that can be experienced, that change can happen. And again, that nobody deserves to be living in fear.
Do you think the stigma is being lifted here, John, when it comes to men coming forward and that perception that men are weak if they're being bullied or intimidated or abused by a woman in the house, or are men getting better at speaking up? Abuse is abuse, regardless of gender.
Well, that's exactly right, Owen. The figures have definitely increased, and I would like to think that is happening. There are traditional traits here, of course, attached to masculinity. That would be toughness, fearlessness, no vulnerability. And it does take time to acknowledge, you know, what is happening and to reach and speak out. And especially when it is your marriage and what goes on at home, it is difficult. But I suppose, so any man that would be listening this morning, it is important then, you know, that you can pick up the phone here to any of us that's here. We're trained in this area, all counsellors and psychotherapists. And that, you know, a starting point is this, not to minimise as well sometimes what can be going on, because there is that idea, just what you said, if it's not physical or anything like that, it's an impact, a new impact on your children, on your family, everything like that. So it is very important, as I said, to make that call, and you will be heard and listened to, believed as well, which is very important.
And the Male Advice Line has helped thousands of victims since it launched 5 years ago. Open 7 days a week, 365 days a year, John.
It's right, and I suppose that is the expansion as a service that is nationwide as well. And as I say, also for, again, concerned family members, friends and professionals as well. We're also here to support them also, or any concerns they would have about any man experience in abuse.
Good stuff. If you want to take down these following numbers, just grab a pen and a piece of paper. You can put it in your phone either. We'll call them out for you. So the number for the male advice line is 1800 816 588. That's 1800 816 588. Thanks to John Kilgariff, counsellor on the male advice line, and expansion now with nationwide client supports teams, and they'll be able to help more and more men now coming forward who want advice or support of domestic abuse and violence. Thanks, John. So that number again, 1800 816 588. I'll give out the number for Women's Aid too. So Women's Aid is 1800 341 900, 1800 341 900, and the number for Men's Aid also is 01 554 3811, 01 554 3811. And of course, if you feel as though you're at risk of serious harm, you can also contact An Garda Síochána Síochána on 999 or 112, and they'll help you as well.
Crime Watch on KFM
with Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Joining us this morning for Crime Watch is Garda Shane Smith from Naas Garda Station. Shane, welcome to the programme. We're going to start off in Naas and that murder investigation that's taking place. Obviously, the court case, etc., has begun, so we won't comment any further on it other than to stick to the facts. What do we know so far, Shane?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. Gardaí and Naas are investigating the violent death of a man whose body was found at a house in Eustismain, Naas, County Kildare, on Sunday, the 14th of April 2024, at 1:30 p.m. A man has been arrested and appeared before Naas District Court on the 16th of April 2024 as charged with murder. Gardaí have received great cooperation during the course of this investigation and are very thankful to the people who have assisted the investigation. Gardaí wish to appeal to people in the Eustismain housing estate, Naas, and the surrounding areas who have not already spoken to Gardaí to contact Naas Garda Station on 045 88 4300 if they believe they have any information in respect of this death and could help the investigation.
Okay, so any information to Naas Garda Station, 045 884 300. If we go to Clane then, a burglary in one of the housing estates there recently, Shane?
Yes, Hillview Heights on the 12th of April. So that would have been last Friday evening. It was reported to Gardaí that when the occupants of the home returned, they discovered their house had been ransacked. All the rooms had been gone through and property was stolen from the house. If anyone's in the Hillview Heights estate in Clane or the surrounding area, I just saw anyone walking around the area, a car that was unusual, anything that could give aid to Gardaí, could you please contact Clane Gardaí on 045 868 262, please.
The next incident was also a burglary, this time in the rural area of Nerney.
Yes, the Castle Raven Estate, last Wednesday between the hours of 9:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. A house in the Castle Raven Estate was broken into via a rear window. Again, Gardaí are appealing for any information or for any of the neighbours or anyone who's passing through, driving through, saw persons or vehicles that were out of place or caught their eye for whatever reason, to contact Kildare Garda Station on 045 527 730, please.
There was a robbery at the Apple Green service station on the Dublin Road in Selbridge.
Yes, the 14th of April. So this occurred at just 6:43 a.m. in the morning. A female who was well covered up trying to hide her identity entered the Apple Green service station on the Dublin Road, Selbridge, and produced a knife towards staff. She demanded money from the till. We are appealing for anyone who may have seen a female in her late 20s or a small black car in the area of the Dublin Road in Selbridge last Sunday morning very early to please contact Selbridge Gardaí.
Was there maybe some connection then between Selbridge and what happened then following in Ardclough?
We believe so. So in Ardclough village, just at 7 a.m, a female who again was well covered up in her mid to late 20s, was possibly a black car, approached a shop in the Nartloch area. She began banging on the door, and when the store owner went out to see what was causing the noise and what was going on, he saw a female standing outside with a large knife trying to demand money through the door. The store owner called Gardaí, and the female fled the scene. So again, we're looking for a woman in her mid to late 20s driving a small dark car that had been around the Artclock area last Sunday morning at 7 a.m. So possibly the two incidents are linked, very similar, and we're appealing for anyone to contact Gardaí at Selbridge on 01-628-8222, please.
Then we go to a theft from a vehicle at Carra Court in Naas.
Yes, so this was between the 9th and the 10th last week. So Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, a car was parked up in the Carra Court estate and was searched and ransacked. A wallet was stolen from the car, which was unlocked at the time. We're appealing for anyone who might have seen something suspicious or persons walking around overnight, again between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, that are suspicious. Their door cameras might have picked up movement or something like that. Anything that could aid us in that investigation, could you please contact Naas Gardaí on 045-88-4300, please.
Just before I let you go then, Shane, some good police work carried out by your colleagues, and then maybe some advice for people as well.
Yes, the North Kildare Drugs Unit, while on patrol, discovered a car and stopped it. And following an investigation of that, discovered €5,000 worth of cannabis herb that has been moved in the car. One male has been arrested and a file has now been prepared for the DPP. In relation to advice, as we're all conscious of road safety at the moment, again, we're making an appeal, please, to people, stay off your phones when you're driving. I'm sure yourself and your listeners have seen people on the motorway or on back roads trying to text, phones up to their ears, speeding. So please just take a moment, leave the phone down when you're driving and just be so conscious of the road. It can be so dangerous when people are not fully zoned into what they're doing. So be mindful of the road, your environment, other road users. So please stay off the phone and save life.
Indeed. Well said, Garda. Shane Smith from Naas Garda Station, thanks for joining us. And again, if anyone has any information in relation to those crimes, bring them to your local Garda Station. Just on the issue of crime here in this county and in this country, the number of knives seized are just a fraction of those that are carried, according to Kildare North TD Catherine Murphy. You will have heard this in our news yesterday. Deputy Murphy made the comments as ministers are expected to meet yesterday to examine the introduction of tougher sentences for knife crime. Justice Minister Helen McEntee will bring proposals to increase the maximum sentence for serious knife offences from 5 to 7 years. Catherine Murphy said we need a multifaceted strategy to tackle knife crime. She advocated for a comprehensive approach incorporating community and youth engagement alongside appropriate penalties. Despite acknowledging existing stringent measures, she highlighted their insufficient impact on the issue, citing the successful implementation of a knife amnesty in Scotland as a successful model. And commenting on the issue, new Taoiseach Simon Harris says it's his intention and he wants to make our streets safer.
When I became leader of Fine Gael and Taoiseach, I said I intended to prioritise law and order and making our streets safer. I really welcome the fact that 1 week today into office, my colleague, the Minister for Justice, is bringing forward significant proposals that will advance that aim. One in relation to knife crime, making sure that there are longer sentences for those engaged in knife crime.
And just to bring it closer to home again, over 500 knives were seized by Gardaí in Kildare in the past 10 years. Figures obtained from Garda divisions reveal a troubling rise in knife seizures within the county. In 2023, the region witnessed 60 knife seizures, making a significant increase from previous years. Since 2010, 516 knives have been seized. So the figures were available up until the 20th of March this year. So far in the last 3 months, Kildare has already recorded 16 knife seizures. The number of knife seizures nationally over the last 10 years amounts to, wait for this, 20,000 knives have been seized in this country in the last 10 years. Almost half of those seizures took place in the Dublin metropolitan region. But as Catherine Murphy, Kildare North TD, has stated, she feels as though the number that have been seized are just a fraction of those that are actually carried. So certainly some stark figures there in relation to knife seizures and knife crime.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park Nace, PSA licensed. 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.